Half an hour later, it was still irking me how innocuous our texts had been. So I decided to see if maybe I could get a rise out of him. It was dumb, a spur-of-the-moment reaction to my feelings being hurt, and I regretted it right after I hit send. Sadie. It might be closer to 8 o'clock, but I'll come straight after my work thingy. I chewed on my nail, waiting to see how he'd respond. He knew what type of work things I often did after business hours. This time, I had a combination happy hour and 6-minute dating with a friend event. After everything that had transpired between Sebastian and me the last 2 weeks, the truth was, I felt weird about going at all. 8 6-minute dates with men consuming copious amounts of alcohol wouldn't have sounded appealing even if I'd never met Sebastian Maxwell. But I'd signed up 2 months ago because the with a friend part intrigued me, and I'd thought it would make for a fun article. In regular speed dating, you spent 5 to 10 minutes talking to a stranger and then moved on to the next. At the end of a session of 6 or 8 different mini dates, you wrote down if you were interested in an actual date with any of the men. If they also wrote your name down, then your contact information was given to each of you by the host. That was all true with this event, too. Only tomorrow night's event had a twist. Both the man and woman seeking the dates brought a friend, and it was the friends who did the talking on the 6-minute dates. They each asked questions about the prospective date to the prospective date's friend. It sounded a little nutty, but I knew bringing Devin would make it interesting. Plus, months ago, I'd had no idea the Maxwells would be in my life, which was pretty surreal to think about now, since I felt like I'd known them so much longer. I watched my phone as my text went from sent to delivered to read. The little dots started to jump around, and I held my breath, waiting to see Sebastian's response. Sebastian. Work thingy. I smiled to myself. I'd gotten his attention, but as I started to type back, I became nervous. Why? I didn't know. It wasn't like we were in an exclusive relationship or anything. Though to me, things with Sebastian weren't exactly casual either. I regretted poking the bear even after I'd gotten exactly what I'd been after. How would I feel if Sebastian told me he had a date? Ugh. I needed to backtrack a bit. Rewind and put Jack back in the box. Sadie. Yeah, just some research for an article. But Sebastian wasn't having it. Sebastian.
A date?
Well, technically I had 8 dates, though I didn't think I needed to clarify that small point at the moment. Sadie. Technically, yes. Though not really. Just a new kind of speed dating for an upcoming article. I braced myself, waiting for the response. While we'd been texting back and forth conversation style, suddenly Sebastian went radio silent. It was a full 10 minutes before my phone buzzed again. And when it did, my heart stuttered to a halt as I read his words. Sebastian.
Have a good time.
So, what does Tyler do for a living? Devin said, sipping her second Cosmo. Tyler's friend Ethan answered,
He's a pilot. Does long hauls between here and Sydney.
Wow, that's a cool job. Does Tyler get discounts for friends and family? If so, I might be willing to skirt the rules and give you Sadie's number right now. We all laughed. It was our 5th date of the night, and Devin had gotten really into her role of vetting prospective dates. Though the fun of the evening had nothing to do with any of the men, because let's face it, I had no interest in any of them. The fun was the outlandish shit that came out of Devin's mouth. Maybe if I'd been more into the night, I'd have noticed how cute Tyler was. Does your friend have any nicknames? Devin asked. Tyler flashed Ethan a menacing warning look. Oh, no, you don't, she said. Spit it out. Now we need to know. Ethan grinned.
His nickname is Tink.
Tink? Like in Tinkerbell? Ethan shook his head.
No, Tink, because the first time he ever got drunk, we were about 13, and he got so shit-faced that he wet the bed after he passed out.
We all laughed while Tyler punched his friend's arm.
You're supposed to be helping me find a date, not scaring them away, jackass.
What show does your friend watch that he wouldn't want you to tell me about right now? Ethan's smile grew wide again. Tyler just shut his eyes. This was going to be good.
He watches that show, Something and the Restless. My eyes widened. The Young and the Restless. The soap opera? Ethan cracked up.
We had a roommate in college who watched it. Tyler here was madly in love, but she had a boyfriend. He started to watch it just to spend time with her. For Christmas, he even got her tickets to one of those fan meet and greets where you meet a celebrity at a bookstore.
Oh, that's so sweet, Devin said. What happened with her?
Tyler groaned and Mock banged his head on the table before Ethan answered.
She hooked up with the dude from the show after the meet and greet. The next day, she dumped the boyfriend and started to go out with the actor. Last I heard, they have two kids.
Oh my God, I laughed. Is he kidding?
Poor Tyler just shook his head.
I wish he were.
His smile was lopsided and modest, but adorable and seemingly genuine. I smiled back, and we shared a connection for a brief moment. A minute later, the host yelled that time was up and instructed the women to move one table to the right. Tyler and I shook hands, and he caught my eye.
It was really nice sharing 6 incredibly embarrassing moments with you.
I laughed. You too. Shuffling to the next table, Devin bumped her shoulder with mine.
He was really cute. I hope we match with him.
The next 3 speed dates were on the painful side. One guy slurred his words, and the other 2 definitely didn't get Devin's sense of humor. I was thrilled to be done. Devin took out the match cards they'd given us when we walked in.
I vote for 1, 3, and 5, she said.
I don't think the man you live with is going to be happy with 3 dates.
Maybe you should cut it down to 1.
She frowned.
I'm serious.
I sighed. I don't want to go out with any of these guys, Dev.
I know, honey, but you said yourself that you didn't know where things stood between you and Sebastian. So why not give some of these guys a chance? At least 5. He was adorable.
I don't think so. The host came around to collect the card that I was supposed to list my dates on. I handed it to him.
You didn't fill it out yet.
I smiled. Yes, I did. Thanks for a fun evening. Outside, I hugged Devin goodbye and thanked her for coming with me. At least I can write a good article about it. This was actually fun. The other time I did speed dating, it was so awkward, but having your friend there keeps things so much more relaxed.
It wasn't having me here that made it relaxed. You had no intention of going out with anyone before you even stepped foot in the place, so there was no pressure for you.
I shrugged. Maybe.
You know I was Team Sebastian from the very first day.
I know. What happened?
You went from encouraging me to go after him to wanting me to go out and date.
She squeezed my arm.
I don't want a heart that isn't available to love you to keep you from finding one that is.
I frowned. I won't let that happen. I promise. While I meant the words when I said them, the problem was, falling in love wasn't something I actually had any control over.
Can I try one more time?
Birdie jumped up and down. I looked at Magdalene, who had been a good sport all night, and she nodded. Birdie clicked the clicker twice, then yelled,
Speak! Marmaduke, gib laut!
The overgrown puppy began to bark nonstop. Tonight, we'd started to train him to bark on command. Since the doorbell was something that always made him yap anyway, we incorporated it into the training. Magdalene would go outside, and on the count of 10, she'd ring the bell and I'd click the clicker and tell him to speak. When he barked, I'd scratch behind his ears while telling him he was a good boy and rewarding him with a treat. After doing that 5 times, I could just click the clicker and yell for him to speak, and Marmaduke would start barking, even without the doorbell. The only problem was, sometimes we couldn't get him to stop. He'd take the biscuit, practically swallow it whole, and then go right back to barking again. Which was exactly what had happened again this time. While the loud bark didn't bother Birdie at all, it was starting to drive me nuts, and poor Magdalene sat at the dining room table rubbing her temples again. Desperate to stop the piercing sound, I opened the end table drawer, where we'd hidden the stuffed toys he had taken a shine to, and tossed a stuffed unicorn at him. He stopped barking, but only because he was now too busy humping. I sighed. Note to self. This week, watch YouTube videos on how to stop barking once you get it started. Magdalene's phone started to ring, and she laughed, answering it. Oh, hi, Mr. Maxwell. My ears perked up more than Marmaduke's did when he saw the shell of a tortoise. Yeah, sure, she's still here. She paused and then, hold on a second. I tried to look busy when Magdalene called to me. Sadie, Mr. Maxwell would like to speak to you. Oh, okay. My heart started to flutter as she walked over the phone. Hello?
Hey.
His voice sounded tense. Is everything okay?
I was trying to reach you, but you weren't answering your phone.
Oh, it was in my bag, I guess. I probably didn't hear it because of the barking.
Barking?
We were teaching Marmaduke how to speak. I heard Sebastian blow out a deep breath through the phone.
Listen, I was trying to get out of here by 8:30 so I could make it home before you leave, but that's obviously not happening. I could probably get out in an hour or two. Do you think you could hang around until I get home? We need to talk.
My pulse quickened. Sure, of course. Why don't I tell Magdalene she can go?
If you don't mind. She's been staying pretty late all week, so that would be great.
Of course.
Let me run. We're down a few people.
Okay, see you later. I ended the call and handed the phone back to Magdalene. Sebastian asked me to stay so we could, talk about Marmaduke's training. Why don't you go home? He said you could use a night of getting out early. She smiled and looked over my shoulder at Birdie, then leaned in to whisper. Mr. Maxwell has been cranky this week.
Has he?
She nodded and winked. Hopefully your talk about Marmaduke's training will have him feeling better. Oh, it's not what you think. She raised both her eyebrows. I sighed. Okay, so maybe it is what you think, but it's, I don't know what it is, Magdalene. She smiled. He's a good man. Have patience with him. I wasn't sure what to say to that, so instead I just nodded. After Magdalene left, Birdie took a shower. She came out to the living room and asked if I could braid her hair. About 9:30, she yawned, and I tucked her into bed. Then I sat in the living room waiting for Sebastian. I kept replaying what he'd said to me on the phone over and over. We need to talk. No good news came after an opening line like that. A horrible feeling of dread loomed over me as I waited. I felt hurt, and he hadn't even ended things yet. To be honest, I wasn't sure what exactly he would be ending. It wasn't like we'd defined anything. All I knew was that we had started something, and to me, that something was special. By 10:30, I was still sitting on the couch, but now bobbing my knee up and down, feeling like I might jump out of my skin. I hadn't heard from Sebastian again. On the phone, he'd said an hour or two, so hopefully that meant he'd be here any minute. Deciding I needed to calm down, I went in search of wine in his office. I knew where the key was kept because I'd watched Macy raid the locked cabinet last weekend. But when I went to grab it from the desk drawer, a framed picture snagged my attention. I picked it up and stared at a photo of Sebastian and Amanda. It had been taken in the hospital. Sebastian had one arm around his wife's shoulder while she cradled a newborn Birdie. They were both smiling and looked so happy. Was this how it would be if we were together anyway? Framed photos of his first love all over the house? Living in the shadow of another woman? How exactly would that work if he got married again? Would the photo of his new bride slide into the frame right over the one from his first wedding? Maybe him dumping me tonight was for the best. Yeah, definitely for the best.
She was born 3 weeks early.
Sebastian's deep voice startled me, and I jumped. Unfortunately, the frame slipped from my fingers and fell to the floor, landing face down with a loud clank. The hand that had been holding the frame flew up and covered my heart. You scared the shit out of me.
Sorry.
Nervous, I bent to pick up the frame. I felt nauseous when I turned it over. Cracked. The glass was cracked. I shook my head. God, I'm so sorry. It's broken. I'll replace it. Sebastian walked toward me and slipped it from my hand.
It's fine. No big deal.
He set the frame face down on his desk and our eyes caught.
Sorry I'm so late.
I wasn't snooping. I just came in to see if you had any wine and I guess the photo caught my attention.
Sebastian nodded. He walked around to where I stood and pulled open the drawer. Taking out the key, he unlocked the liquor cabinet and grabbed a bottle of red wine. He tilted it to show me the label.
This okay?
Does it have alcohol? He chuckled.
Got ya. Fill your glass to the brim.
Thank you. Sebastian uncorked the bottle and filled one glass, then stuffed the cork back in. Aren't you having any? I said. He handed me the very full glass.
Maybe later. I need to keep my head clear right now.
Oh, okay.
Come on, let's go sit in the living room.
Together, we sat on the couch. While I sipped my wine and waited, Sebastian held his head in his hands and stared down at the floor. It made my heart hurt that he looked as pained as I felt. The man had been through so much. I needed to make this easy for him. So I took a giant gulp of liquid courage and set my glass down on the end table before moving closer to him. Sebastian, it's okay. I get it. You don't have to say anything. We had fun, but you don't want more than that. It's fine. You don't have to feel bad.
Is that what you think? That I feel bad because I'm done with you?
My brows drew together.
Isn't that what you're stressing over? Hurting my feelings?
He started to laugh maniacally. Shaking his head, he pointed to the glass I'd just set down.
Give me that, will ya?
I handed it to him and watched as he downed the entire contents of my glass. Offering it back, he said,
Fuck a clear head. I just need some balls.
Was he saying what I thought he was saying? I fought to not let my hopes get up. I don't understand. He raked his hands through his hair and turned to face me.
How was your date tonight, Sadie?
He'd said the word date weird, almost spitting out the T, as if the word itself sickened him. It was fine.
Well, I'm glad. Then at least one of us had a good evening.
You didn't have a good night?
Let's see. I broke the handle off an oven, burned my arm twice, put in 3 orders wrong, and almost fired a waitress who did nothing wrong, and that was all before 6 o'clock.
I don't understand.
I couldn't focus, Sadie. The thought of you going out with another man, no less a half dozen men while speed dating, makes me feel violent.
It was 8, actually. He scoffed.
Thanks. That makes me feel a hell of a lot better.
I'd been so certain that he was coming home to break things off that even though he'd just told me he hated the thought of me dating anyone else, I still guarded my heart. If you didn't want me to go, why didn't you tell me that? Or better yet, why didn't you even call me this week?
Because I feel like I'm not supposed to want another woman all to myself.
I swallowed. But you do? You want me like that? Sebastian looked into my eyes.
I want you in every way, Sadie. And that scares the shit out of me.
I smiled sadly. If it makes you feel any better, you scare me too.
I want to move on, but I have so much guilt about doing it.
He shook his head.
Did you ever play tug of war in school when you were a kid?
Sure, of course.
You know how they told you not to wrap the rope around your hand?
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of what I feel like I'm doing right now. I'm playing tug of war. Only I have the rope wrapped around my hand really tight because I've been afraid to let go for so long. But now my circulation is getting cut off. And if I don't just let go of the damn thing, I'm going to cause more damage than I would if I just finally let go.
I looked down at Sebastian's hands. They were balled so tight, almost like he was physically hanging on to that imaginary rope. And I wanted to help him, even if it wasn't to tug him to my side and win the game. So I reached over and gently pried his fist open, then put my hand inside his and held on. Sebastian stared down at our joined hands for a long time.
I want you to be mine, Sadie.
My heart thumped in my chest. I'm pretty sure I have been from the start. He smiled.
I'm sorry about this week, for acting like such a dick after our afternoon together.
It's okay. Just talk to me next time. I get you're going to have mixed feelings, and I'll give you space when you need it. He nodded. Bringing our joined hands to his lips, he kissed the top of mine.
So how does this work? It's been a long time since I went steady with anyone. I chuckled. Went steady? What are you, 60?
He tugged me from next to him up onto his lap. Pushing a lock of hair behind my ear, he said,
I know dating is part of your job. I won't ask you to give that up, yet. But maybe we could have a few ground rules.
Okay.
I'd like us to be exclusive, as far as anything physical goes.
Of course, I'd like that too.
Anything else that you have to do for work, just don't tell me about it. Don't even mention you have a thingy.
I smiled. I'll figure something out for work. I can do articles on different types of dating out there, interview people for worst date stories. My research doesn't always need to be me trying out a different type of date. Sebastian cupped my cheeks.
So we're going steady.
I smiled. We're going steady, you nerd. We sealed the deal with a kiss. When it broke, I looked over my shoulder toward Bertie's room. What about Bertie?
I'm thinking I should tell her. What do you think?
I nibbled on my lip. That's up to you. But I guess it's better to be honest than to have her find out by catching me sitting on your lap like this. He nodded.
I'll talk to her tomorrow. How about after that? The three of us go out to dinner and a movie or something. Me and my girls.
My heart melted, and I couldn't contain my smile. I like the sound of that.
Good. Me too.
Chapter 21, Sebastian. This was definitely something I was going to have to wing. It wasn't like I had a handbook at the ready on how to tell your child that you're dating someone. Someone who wasn't her mother. I knew Bertie had wanted this, but I often wondered if her attitude about that would change once it actually happened. My palms were sweaty as I walked down the hall, headed toward my daughter's room. Bertie knew Sadie would be joining us for dinner and a movie tonight. She might have suspected something, but I needed to have the talk regardless. Bertie was listening to music, bopping her head and lying flat on her stomach. Her long legs reached much farther than they used to. She was getting so big. It was hard to believe she'd be 11 soon. I couldn't even think about what having a preteen would be like. I knocked to get her attention. She looked up and took out her earbuds.
Hey, Daddy.
Hi, Pumpkin. You looking forward to the movie?
Yeah, and getting to hang out with Sadie, too.
That makes two of us. Good. I sat down on the edge of the bed. So, that's actually what I wanted to talk to you about. A look of concern crossed her face.
She's still coming, right?
Yeah, of course, honey. Rubbing my palms together, I said, What I need to tell you is that Sadie has become more than just the dog trainer. She and I have gotten to know each other, and, well, we really like each other's company. The few seconds that passed felt like torture. Her mouth curved into the slightest smile.
I'm not surprised.
My brows lifted. Really?
You act sort of funny when she's around. Plus, she's pretty.
How come you never told me that you suspected something?
I didn't want to get my hopes up.
So it makes you happy that I'm dating Sadie? She nodded. Feeling a sense of relief, I grinned. You really like her, don't you?
Yes, I really, really like her.
I grabbed one of her stuffed toys and looked down at it as I spoke. You know, it's important that whoever I spend time with be someone you get along with and who also makes you happy. I would never bring around anyone who didn't fit in with us.
I know, Daddy.
I also hope you know that just because Sadie and I are getting close, that doesn't change how much I loved your mother, okay? Bertie glanced over at a photo of Amanda that hung on the wall, then said,
I know. Mommy's never coming back. You'd still be with Mommy if she were here. Mommy knows that.
That was an interesting comment, because I often wondered whether Amanda and I would have lasted had she not gotten sick. Placing the stuffed animal back down, I said, Do you have any questions for me?
Is Sadie going to live with us?
Well, that was more direct than I was expecting. No, not anytime soon. Maybe someday if things work out. This is still very new. That also means that there's a chance it might not work out.
You mean you might mess it up?
I chuckled at her assumption. That's probably the more likely scenario, yeah. That's not my intention, but adult relationships are complicated, and sometimes even though we don't intend for them to fail, they don't work out. She had no clue that even her mother and I had struggled.
Is Sadie still going to go on dates for her job?
Yeah, sore subject. Not real ones.
Because you're her boyfriend now?
She smiled. I took a few seconds to let that word sink in. Boyfriend. Jesus, I hadn't been someone's boyfriend in ages. Yeah, I guess I am.
Is she still going to train Marmaduke?
Scratching my chin, I said, I get the impression she likes spending time with you and the Duke, so I bet you can convince her to keep taking him out with you. She sighed.
All right, Daddy.
I squeezed her knee. No more questions? She shook her head.
I don't think so.
Okay. I leaned in and kissed her on the forehead. I'll come get you to leave soon. As I was walking out the door, she stopped me.
Wait.
Yeah?
I do have one more question.
Shoot.
Can I get the big box of Milk Duds at the movies?
I chuckled. We'll see. Another wave of relief hit me as I left her room. That had gone way better than I'd anticipated. I hoped nothing would happen to jinx it. Bertie ended up really enjoying the Disney movie we watched. As for me, I really enjoyed holding Sadie's hand as I sat between them. Not to mention, I'd been so busy taking care of everything over the past several years, I'd forgotten what it felt like to have someone who was looking out for me. Sadie would do subtle things like move the hair off my face or brush crumbs off my shirt. She definitely had a protective instinct. And I had to say, I loved being looked after by a beautiful woman. It was too soon to have Sadie spend the night with Bertie home, but I wanted nothing more than to have her in my bed tonight. I'd have to figure out a way to get alone time with her, whether it be in the middle of the day or by having Magdalene do a few overnights here and there. When we left the theater and Sadie took Bertie down the hall to the bathroom, it occurred to me that it was the first time in ages that I didn't have to stand outside the door while my daughter used a public women's restroom to make sure she was okay. That was definitely one thing I'd taken for granted when Amanda was alive. After the movie, the three of us went to a restaurant of Bertie's choosing, and as usual, she chose fondue. My daughter dipped a piece of bread into the melted cheese as she looked up at Sadie, who was sitting next to her.
"Don't you like fondue, Sadie?"
she asked. Sadie seemed to be enjoying watching Bertie eat more than enjoying the food herself.
"You know, you might not believe this, but I have never had fondue before tonight."
Bertie's eyes nearly bugged out of her head.
"Whoa, how come?" "I know, seems crazy, right? I never really started going out to eat until I moved to the city, so I had a lot of catching up to do. Still catching up, I guess." "Your daddy never took you out to eat?" "We didn't have a lot of money growing up, so my dad preferred to cook at home." "Your daddy could cook?"
Bertie looked at me with an impish grin.
"Mine can't."
My shoulders shook from laughter. "Thanks for that, sweetheart." Sadie chimed in.
"Yeah, but your daddy has so many other great qualities. He's smart and witty and an excellent businessman. So if he could cook, that would make him, like, perfect. And no one is perfect."
She winked at me, and it made me want to leap across the table and devour her beautiful lips.
"That's true," Bertie agreed. "He's smart and really nice and tells really good bedtime stories off the top of his head."
"See?" Sadie smiled. Bertie's eyes brimmed with curiosity.
"So, what kinds of things did your dad cook for you?" "My dad has a really big garden, so he'd make all kinds of things with vegetables. Tomato sauce for homemade pizza, fried zucchini, stuff like that."
"Zucchini!"
Bertie scrunched her nose.
"I don't love vegetables. I only love olives."
"Bertie wishes her dad would grow cookies in the garden, right, sweetie?" I said. Sadie pointed her finger to her chin.
"Hmm. We'll have to find some creative ways to get you to eat your vegetables, Bertie.
She raised her brow.
Do you like shakes?
I love them, especially with ice cream.
I'll bet you I can sneak vegetables into a delicious shake, and you won't even know they're there.
Bertie looked skeptical.
Really?
Yep. In fact, I make them all the time for myself, and I can't even taste the spinach.
Her mouth dropped.
Spinach?
You'd think Sadie had uttered an obscenity based on my daughter's reaction.
Yep. Want to bet it's good?
Can you come over and make it tonight?
Sadie looked at me like she wasn't sure how to answer that. I think Sadie has to work tomorrow, I said. Sadie looked a little disappointed that I'd closed the door on her coming home with us. It wasn't that I didn't want her to. I just worried I might mess up tonight in front of my daughter. But I really did want her to head back with us, even if for a little while. So I added, but if she wants to come over and make you a shake for dessert, I'll make sure she gets home safe. I signaled to her with my eyes that I really hoped she came over tonight. The more I thought about it, the more I realized I needed her to come over so that I could at least kiss her goodnight. Sadie smiled at me.
Okay, maybe I can stop by there for a little bit.
Bertie jumped up and down in her seat.
Yay!
On the way home, we stopped at a market so that Sadie could buy the ingredients for what she dubbed her magic shake. Once we got to the house, she laid all the ingredients out on the counter.
Now, I shouldn't even be giving out my secret recipe, but since I really like you, Bertie, I'm going to show you exactly how to make my special shake.
Bertie watched with excitement as I got the blender out for Sadie. Then I rolled up my sleeves and leaned into the counter to just enjoy watching the two of them interact. Sadie peeled a banana.
So the first magic ingredient is a really ripe banana, because that makes the shake super sweet without having to add too much sugar.
Bertie looked up at her.
I love sugar.
I know, Miss Cookie, but sugar isn't that great for you. I promise you that this will taste just as sweet as sugar, okay?
My daughter shrugged.
Okay.
Sadie opened up a jar of peanut butter.
This is the next secret ingredient, which does have some sugar in it, but I'll let it slide.
She winked.
I love peanut butter, especially peanut butter cookies,
Bertie said.
Why doesn't that surprise me? Sadie chuckled.
My daughter eagerly hopped up on her toes.
What's next?
Next is a cup of vanilla almond milk.
Bertie scrunched her nose.
Milk made from almonds?
Yep, and it tastes kind of like vanilla ice cream.
She looked skeptical.
Are you challenging me, Miss Bertie?
My daughter giggled. It was nice to see her this engaged. Sadie made her so happy. She made me so happy.
The next ingredient is frozen blueberries.
Sadie ripped open the bag of fruit.
I love blueberries,
Bertie squealed. Sadie walked over to the ice maker and placed a cup under it.
Next, I'm adding a few ice cubes to make the shake extra cold. Then, last but not least, comes the most important ingredient.
What's that?
Have you forgotten? It's spinach, silly, remember? Veggies?
Oh, yeah. I was hoping you'd forget.
No such luck.
Sadie added a handful of raw spinach to the blender.
Are we done?
That's it.
Sadie put the top on.
Are you ready to blend it all up?
Can I?
Bertie asked excitedly.
Yep, you do the honors.
Bertie pressed her little finger down onto the blend button and watched as all the ingredients turned into a dark green color, almost a purple with the blueberries.
You know what I call this drink? Sadie said.
What?
The Green Monster.
That's so cool.
Sadie stopped the blender and grabbed a plastic iced coffee cup and straw from the cupboard.
Are you ready to try it?
Sadie asked as she placed the cup on the counter. My daughter nodded. Sadie poured the concoction into the cup and fastened the lid before adding the straw. She slid it down the counter to Bertie. Sadie and I watched with bated breath as Bertie tried it. After a hesitant first sip, she stopped and licked her lips, then took another, longer sip. She looked over at us. Sadie rested her chin in her hands. And?
It's really, really good.
Sadie began to dance around in celebration. We high-fived each other. Birdie started giggling and proceeded to drink down a good portion of the smoothie. Sadie poured some of the drink into another glass and handed it to me.
Something tells me even your dad can make this.
I took a sip and licked my lips. Really good. I was sure she could tell from the look in my eyes that I wasn't exactly thinking of the shake when I'd made that sound. Although I had to say, the drink definitely didn't taste anything like spinach. I looked over at the clock. It was late for my daughter to be up. Birdie, it's way past your bedtime and you have school tomorrow. How about you go get washed up, then come back and say goodnight to Sadie? She looked disappointed to see this night coming to an end. I hoped there would be many more like it. When Birdie finally disappeared down the hall, I wrapped my hand around Sadie's waist and pulled her in for the kiss that I'd been so incredibly hungry for all night. She moaned into my mouth, and that was confirmation that she'd wanted it as much as I did. Pulling her into me, I bit her bottom lip and slowly released it. You are so fucking delicious, you know that? Oh my, she said, clearly noticing the growing bulge in my pants. Wow, you'd better get that down before your daughter comes out to say goodnight. Yeah, I sighed. This isn't exactly a scenario I'm used to. Figuring it was a good idea to heed her warning, I took a walk down the hall and used the bathroom for a breather. When I returned, Birdie was standing in the kitchen in her nightgown, her hair wet, looking up at Sadie.
Can you braid my hair before bed, Sadie?
Sadie looked over at me, seeming to want permission. I nodded.
Sure, let's do it, she said.
Sadie disappeared down the hall to Birdie's room and was gone much longer than I expected. When she came back out, I was waiting for her on the living room couch. That was a long braiding session. Sadie sat down next to me and laid her head on my shoulder.
She's so cute. She just wanted to talk.
Thank you for being so sweet to her. I kissed the top of her head. You want some wine? What can I get you?
No, I'm good. I just want to lie here in your arms for a while, if that's okay.
I adjusted my body so that she was completely enveloped in my arms. That's more than okay. After a long while, she raised her chin up to me, and I took that as a cue to plant a long kiss on her lips. My dick rose to attention. I was horny as hell tonight, but knew she wouldn't agree to spend the night even if I suggested it. This was a complicated situation. I knew she shouldn't spend the night, but I wasn't ready to let her go either. As I thrust my tongue inside her mouth, her familiar taste ignited a need so intense that I wasn't sure I was going to be able to stop. When she moaned this time, I wondered if she was as wet as I was hard. The strongest temptation to slip my finger inside her panties to check consumed me. This is painful. I need to be inside you, I muttered over her mouth. It feels like it's been forever. I wondered if there was a way we could sneak into the bathroom, anywhere. I just needed her. Sadie must have sensed that I was spiraling because she pulled back from our kiss.
I'd better get going.
I let out a frustrated groan. You know how much I don't want you to leave, right?
Of course I know that, but it's better if I do.
She stood up. I wrapped my hands around her cheeks. I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about you. My eyeballs moved from side to side as the wheels in my head turned.
What are you thinking?
She asked. I'm trying to scheme a way for you to be in my bed tonight and disappear magically by morning.
Except that's not possible. It's way too soon to risk anything, so I'm going to go.
She was right. It just felt wrong to let her go for some reason. She felt like she belonged here. I ended up calling her an Uber, and we spent every second until it arrived kissing like two horny teenagers. After she got in the car and took off, she sent me a text. Sadie,
I forgot to clean up the green monster remnants. I meant to go back into the kitchen and do that.
Sebastian, the real monster is in my pants, and he's not able to be tamed tonight. Sadie,
LOL.
Sebastian, No worries about the shake. I got it. I owe you for getting my daughter to eat vegetables. Seriously, that was some magical shit. Sadie.
I was so happy she liked it.
Sebastian. She likes you. Sadie.
That makes me so happy.
Sebastian. I might like you too. A lot. Sadie.
I like you too, Sebastian. I might even be crazy about you.
Sebastian. I have a new story idea for you. Sadie.
Yeah?
Sebastian. Dating the horny single dad. Sadie.
LOL. What does this assignment entail?
Sebastian. Several meetups in the afternoons at various places and lots of sex. You in? Sadie.
Definitely.
Monday morning, I still couldn't stop thinking about Sadie. So I decided to push what I'd mentioned last night about a daytime meetup. Sebastian. Good morning. How did you sleep? Sadie.
Pretty good. I had a nice dream. You might have been in it.
I caught myself with a gigantic smile on my face as I went to text back. Sebastian. What time do you go to lunch? Maybe I can swing by and take you out and you can tell me about that dream. Sadie.
That sounds great, except...
My shoulders slumped, waiting for what would come after the word except. I assumed it would be something like, except I can't because I have too much work to do, or except I have a meeting. But the next text perked me up. Some parts might have gotten more perky than others. Sadie.
How about you meet me at my apartment at 2 and I do better than tell you about my dream? We can act it out.
Fuck yeah. I couldn't type back fast enough. Sebastian. I'll be out front of your building at 1:45. Sadie.
LOL. I like your eagerness, Mr. Maxwell.
Sebastian. Oh, I'm eager, all right. You should see what's going on in my pants already, with more than 5 hours to go before I arrive. Sadie.
You could show me what's going on?
All the blood from my brain had rushed south with better shit to do than support logical decisions. So, of course, it sounded like a damn good idea to oblige. Reaching down, I fisted my hard-on through my sweatpants, then snapped a pic and sent it in response to her text. Maybe it was the angle, but my cock looked pretty damn impressive, if I did say so myself. Sadie wasted no time responding. Sadie.
OMG, lunch looks delicious. I can't wait. Let's make it 1 p.m. instead of 2.
I laughed. Sebastian. See you at 1, beautiful. Can't wait.
Chapter 22. Sadie. I love this little dip. Sebastian ran his finger up and down the arch between my lower back and the top of my ass as I lay on my stomach. We'd just ravaged each other, yet the slightest touch of his finger on my back had me already wanting him again. Oh yeah? He nodded. Would it be too much if I poured the soup I brought with lunch and drank it out of there? I laughed. Well, it might be hot, and I don't think you would be drinking it out of the dip in my back. More like lapping like a dog. Sweetheart, that soup is ice cold by now, and lapping at you sounds absolutely fucking perfect. He was definitely right about the soup not being hot anymore. Now I was glad that I'd told my office I needed to take a half day for a fake doctor's appointment. We'd been at it for close to 2 hours already, and the Chinese food that Sebastian had brought hadn't even made it out of the bag. As if that thought reminded my body that it had skipped breakfast, my stomach growled, loudly. Sebastian chuckled. I guess that's one way of you telling me I should feed you. I'm actually starving. I usually eat a bar in the morning on the train, but some guy bumped into me and it fell on the floor after one bite. Why don't I go heat up the food then? Okay. Sebastian got out of bed. He bent to grab his jeans, giving me a spectacular view of his very taut ass. Wait! He froze with one leg in the pants and turned to look at me. Don't get dressed, I said. He flashed a crooked smile. You want to eat naked? Yeah, I do. Would it gross you out if I said I wanted to eat naked in bed with you? Sebastian chuckled. No, but it might make me propose.
He kicked back off the pants leg and strutted out to the kitchen buck naked. What a view, I sighed. Feeling content, I adjusted the blankets and pillows to sit up against the headboard. A few minutes later, Sebastian returned with 3 containers and 2 sets of chopsticks. He climbed back into bed and passed me one of the cartons, then unwrapped the wooden chopsticks and snapped them apart before offering them to me. Thank you. His eye dropped down to my exposed breasts and he shook his head.
Best fucking lunch ever.
I stuffed my face with Sichuan shrimp. This is good. Where did you get it?
This little takeout place, 2 blocks from me.
I'm very picky about Chinese food. It's probably because I'm part Chinese. Sebastian was mid-swallow and started to cough.
You're Chinese?
4%. I did one of those 23andMe DNA tests to find out my heritage 2 years ago since I'm adopted. I'm 60% Italian, 36% Norwegian, and 4% Chinese. Ever since I found that out, I feel like I got better with chopsticks. He laughed.
Interesting. My daughter is obsessed with those damn commercials ever since she made a family tree at school.
I totally forgot about that. She told Santa she wanted one of those in her early letters.
Sebastian shook his head.
What about you? What nationality are you?
My grandparents were from Sicily on my dad's side, and my mother was Welsh.
Sebastian fished a piece of sesame chicken from his cardboard container and went to put it into his mouth. Halfway there, he fumbled, and the chicken landed on his abs. He picked it off using his chopsticks.
Must be because I'm not 4% Chinese.
I smiled.
Do you sing in the shower?
Sebastian raised an eyebrow.
That's an odd question to ask.
I shrugged. Maybe. But I think people's shower habits tell a lot about them. Like if you're in and out in 5 minutes, racing through the washing to get done, or whether you take your time and use your shampoo bottle as a mic when the mood strikes.
I don't think I've ever used the shampoo bottle as a microphone. But I definitely whistle sometimes.
His face fell.
At least I used to.
I set my container on the nightstand and then plucked Sebastian's from his hands and placed his lunch next to mine. Crawling over, I straddled his lap. I think we can get you back to whistling in the shower. He brushed hair from my face.
I think so, too. You make me feel happier than I have in a long time, Gretchen.
I rubbed my nose with his.
Danke.
It was another half hour before Sebastian and I got back to the Chinese food. We were just destined to eat it cold, but I couldn't care less. Playing cowgirl on my handsome boyfriend's lap beat warm food any day of the week. After, we showered together, and Sebastian had to get ready to leave for the restaurant.
What are you doing tonight?
He kissed the top of my head while I sat at my vanity brushing out my wet hair.
Any plans?
Actually, I have a hot date. I watched Sebastian's face fall in the mirror. Shit. It's not what you're thinking. I meant I was going out to dinner with my dad. He squinted at my reflection in the mirror.
Not funny, considering your job.
I stood and pushed up on my tippy toes to plant a kiss on his cheek. Sorry, I wasn't thinking. He finished buttoning his shirt.
Where are you going for dinner?
I'm not sure. We usually decide when he gets here.
Why don't you come to the restaurant?
I blinked a few times. Really? You wouldn't mind meeting my dad? Sebastian shrugged.
Why would I mind? You're already one of my daughter's favorite people.
Warmth spread throughout my chest. Being with a mature man really made the men I'd dated over the last, 10 years seem like such little boys. Sebastian wasn't afraid to meet my family and had welcomed me into his once he gave in to his feelings. I love that. I'll have to see if Dad already had his heart set on something else, but maybe we'll come.
Sounds good.
I walked Sebastian to the door. Thanks for lunch. He kissed me one more time, then grazed his thumb along my bottom lip.
Thanks for not giving up on me when you probably should have. So you're serious about this guy?
Dad picked up the folded napkin from the table and shook it out, laying it across his lap. I looked over his shoulder. Sebastian had just gone to get us a bottle of wine from the bar.
He winked from the other side of the room when he caught me watching him. I smiled and sighed. I'm crazy about him, Dad.
Then I guess I better get to know the fellow a little bit.
On the way to the restaurant, I'd filled Dad in on some of the story behind Sebastian and my getting together. He hadn't actually said much, so I wasn't sure what he was thinking. But that was Dad's way. Sometimes I would swear he wasn't even paying attention when I talked. Then a few weeks later, he'd surprise me by asking a follow-up question to some minor thing I'd casually mentioned. Dad was a listener more than a talker. Sebastian came back with a bottle of Merlot and opened it tableside. Dad glanced around.
It's pretty busy. Think you'll have time to join us? I'd like to get to know the man who my daughter is spending time with. How old are you?
Dad, I scolded. Sebastian is working. Sebastian waved me off with an easy smile.
I'm just going to check on things in the kitchen and put in an order for you, and then I should have some time.
He turned to my dad.
Is there anything you don't like to eat or are allergic to?
My dad patted the little belly he'd developed over the last few years.
Does it look like there's much I don't eat? Okay, give me about 10 minutes. When I come back, I'm all yours to interrogate, sir.
My father seemed to like that response, but I was embarrassed. As soon as Sebastian walked away, I said, Dad, what the heck?
What?
Sebastian invited us here and is going out of his way, and you say, hey, nice to meet you. How old are you? What does it matter how old he is?
You said you're crazy about him, so I want to get to know the man.
There's a difference between getting to know someone and being rude. Dad took a breadstick from the center of the table and broke it in two.
You're involved with a man with a lot of baggage. A widower, a 10-year-old daughter, running this place. I read 80% of all restaurants fail within 5 years. I'm just concerned, sweetheart.
I sighed. I suppose it was only natural for a parent to be concerned about his daughter dating a man who'd already been married, especially one with a daughter. It made sense that he would see Sebastian's daughter as baggage, though I was certain that would change when he met Bertie. Okay, I get it. Just be nice about it, please. Go slow. 15 minutes later, Sebastian appeared at our table balancing 4 different plates. He set them down and then took a seat himself.
We make the mozzarella fresh daily. It's our best-selling appetizer.
He pointed to the other plates, one at a time.
I also brought out salami and fig crostini with ricotta, homemade rice balls, and mini eggplant rollatine.
Not only did everything smell good, but the presentation was gorgeous. Drizzled dressing and decorative garnishes almost made it too pretty to eat. Wow, everything looks amazing. Sebastian smiled.
I can't take credit for it. It's all the chef's doing, though I might have threatened to fire him if these plates weren't perfect.
The three of us dug in, and Sebastian took my father head on.
So, Mr. Bissett, to get back to your question, I'm 36, 7 years older than your daughter. I married my college sweetheart at 23, and she passed away 4 years ago. My daughter, Bertie, is 10. I own a brownstone on the Upper West Side, but only live in part of it. I rent the other half, even though I don't have to because the restaurant actually does quite well, but my daughter and I don't need all the space.
My father smiled sadly.
I'm sorry about your loss. Thank you. Pretty big coincidence that you and my daughter both lost someone to the exact same type of cancer.
Sebastian nodded.
I'm sorry about your loss too, Mr. Bissett. It's George, please.
Sebastian looked over at me.
But yeah, there are a lot of things that Sadie and I have in common. I think that's one of the things that made us grow close so easily.
He extended his hand for me to take, and I happily clasped mine with his. My dad smiled.
Do you want more children?
Dad, isn't that a little personal? Sebastian is being so open, but I think that's taking it a little far. Sebastian squeezed my hand.
It's fine. I guess I always assumed more kids weren't in the cards for me. Amanda got sick when Bertie was only 4 and a half, and I figured that part of my life was done. I have my daughter, and I'm grateful for that.
Sebastian smiled at me.
But I'm not opposed to having more kids. I think I'd actually like it. Bertie would be thrilled, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. I was excited to hear that Sebastian was open to having more kids. Family was important to me, and I'd always dreamed of having a big one. My dad nodded.
Thank you for your candor, son.
After that, the three of us fell into easier, light conversation. My dad and Sebastian figured out they both loved fly fishing and playing poker. Since neither appealed to me, but watching these two men bond fascinated me more than anything, I happily stuffed my face and listened. At one point, a waiter came over and told Sebastian that he was needed in the kitchen. I leaned forward in my seat after Sebastian excused himself.
Satisfied you won't get denied grandkids? I said.
My father reached across the table and took my hand.
Sweetheart, if you married a man with a kid, that kid would be my grandchild. No different from if you birthed your own. It's not about what I want. You've always wanted a big family, and your mother and I couldn't give that to you. I only want what you want.
I'd seriously hit the jackpot when it came to parents. I stood and walked over to my dad's side of the table to plant a kiss on his cheek.
What was that for?
Dad smiled. Just for being you, Dad. Thank you for being such a good sport tonight. After a 3-hour dinner at the restaurant, Dad went home, and I hung around the restaurant waiting for Sebastian to finish up. Then he talked me into coming home with him for a little while. We sat down on the couch, and Sebastian pulled off my shoes. He lifted my feet onto his lap and began to rub. When he dug his thumbs into the arch, I let out a little mewl. Oh my God, that feels so good. But you were the one up and down all night and on your feet. I should be the one giving you the foot massage. He smiled.
My feet are fine. You get the massage just for wearing those sexy heels tonight. And your dad is great. The apple didn't fall far.
He is pretty great. But I'm sorry he got so personal. He's never actually done that before.
Did he meet a lot of the men you went out with?
Not too many, but a few. He's only ever made small talk with the ones he's met before. It's really unlike him to be so meddlesome. Sebastian shrugged.
I'm sure hearing I've been married and have a daughter gave him reason for concern. Can't say I blame him. It's hard to even imagine a day when I couldn't protect my daughter anymore.
I guess. Though I don't think it really had anything to do with you having been married or there being a birdie.
No.
I think he just saw something he'd never seen with me before.
What's that?
I bit my lip, thinking maybe I'd said too much. Sebastian noticed and stopped rubbing my foot.
Talk to me. What is it?
I shook my head. Nothing bad. I think he just saw the possibility of a future for me with someone. Sebastian's eyes looked back and forth between mine.
Smart man. I see the same thing. There's a future here, sweetheart.
A future here, sweetheart. I let his words seep through me, enjoying the warmth in my chest that spread to my fingertips and toes. A huge smile spread across my face. Sebastian crooked one finger at me.
Come here, Smiley.
I sat up and inched closer to him on the couch. He cupped both of my cheeks, and his eyes roamed my face for a long time before he sealed his lips over mine. Emotions bubbled to the surface as we kissed. I started to get lost in the moment, until a voice snapped us both back to reality. Daddy? I better get going. Birdie had woken up from a noise outside her window, and she'd caught us making out on the couch. If it had bothered her, she definitely hid it well. Sebastian bribed her with a cookie to go back to bed, and she asked if I would tuck her in, which I did. Sebastian groaned.
I hate this.
Me too, but we have to set an example for her.
Can't we just sneak you out before she gets up?
I pushed up on my toes and planted a kiss on his lips. She's a smart girl. I don't think it would take too long for her to figure things out. Sebastian hung his head and pouted.
Fine. I'll call the damn Uber.
Thank you.
But I want a night. A whole one. One where I get to fall asleep with you in my arms and wake up and roll over and slip inside you. I'm going to ask Magdalene if she can stay over one night soon.
I smiled. I like the sound of that. A few minutes later, the Uber arrived and Sebastian opened the door.
Hey,
he said, grabbing my hand as I went to walk out. I backed up. Yeah?
I'm crazy about you.
My insides melted to a pile of mush. I'm crazy about you, too.
Chapter 23, Sebastian. The following morning, my daughter seemed like she was expecting to see Sadie. Her eyes were groggy when she walked into the kitchen and asked,
"Is Sadie here?"
I put down my coffee. "No, honey, she went home last night."
"Oh, I was hoping she would make me another green monster."
"You really like that shake she made the other day, huh? You weren't just saying that to be nice."
"No, I loved it."
"Want me to make it for you?" I winked. "I think I can handle it."
"Yes, please."
I swiftly got up. "You got it. One green monster coming right up." Bertie looked preoccupied as she sat on one of the stools by the counter. "Everything all right?" I said as I reached for the blender.
"I think Santa brought Sadie to us."
Her comment caught me off guard. I paused, unable to concentrate on gathering the rest of the ingredients. "Say what?"
"I never told you this, but I started writing to Santa back in June."
Knowing the story behind who Santa actually was, I felt almost uncomfortable as Bertie was confessing this to me. She went on to tell the full story of all her letters to Santa. I was unsure what compelled her to admit it to me now.
"Anyway, I told Santa that I wanted a special friend, and I think Sadie is his last gift to me."
I had to ask, "What makes you so sure that it's Santa, and not just luck?"
"Well, Mommy believed in writing to him."
"Mommy? What do you mean?"
"The only reason I started writing to Santa was because Mommy used to read the letters that people wrote in to Santa. That's why I first wrote to him, at the address in the magazines Mommy kept."
"Your mother kept articles of people writing to Santa?"
"Yeah. You know that big box of dolls you gave me that used to be Mommy's?"
"What about it?"
"That's where the folder was, with all the Santa articles and stuff."
I had no idea what she was talking about. "Do you still have it?" Bertie nodded. "Can I see it?"
"Sure."
She ran to her room and came back with a worn manila folder. Articles were bulging from it. It had to be at least 2 inches thick and had a fat rubber band tied around to keep it closed. I took the folder, confused. "Why wouldn't you tell me about finding these?" She looked down.
"I thought you'd get mad at